Thank you for your being here. Always good to get together, we say. And again, there's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. I need to express my public appreciation last week. Appreciate that. Wonderful to have people or men in the congregation that can stand up and speak up and fill in for you when you're away. So thank you, thank you. The lesson this morning comes from the text that was read to us. Key on a single verse. Well, verses 15 and 16, maybe two verses. The 3 points in the lesson, especially verse 15, rejoice, weep, and have the same mind toward one another. Right. So in verse 15, rejoice with those. And kind of the key phrase too is with those. With those who weep in harmony with one another. Let's get along together. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, and I put these in your notes. It says, finally, in other words, there's a bottom line, a conclusion, if you will. Finally, all of you, I don't want anybody left out. All of you be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. In previous lessons, I've used biblical illustrations to describe really our connections to one another. So in review, I just put in your notes a kind of a quick look back at a couple of those lessons. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you remember the Apostle Paul says, look at our physical bodies and see how it works. And that's an illustration on how the spiritual body should work. The body is not one member, but many. Right, look around. Many people here. We're different. Not just in looks, but in attitude, desires, emotions, likes and dislikes. We're different. Just that the body has different parts. Yeah, many, many parts. We're not alike. Second, Paul said, even though we're many members, but we're one body. Ah, bring it all together now. He says, all these different body parts compose one body. Spiritually, even with the many different members, we're to function as one body. Harmony. In verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. See, because one body part doesn't do everything. A hand designed for a certain purpose, the feet, all the body parts, many body parts. But we function together. We need all of these parts to work together. As Paul said, one part can't do everything. My hand doesn't talk. I don't walk on my hands. They're designed for a purpose. Then Paul said in verse 25, there should be no division, but that the members, that's all of us, should have the same care for one another. You know, even our physical body. When one of my body members hurts, my whole body hurts. Even if I get a little paper cut, my mouth begins to scream, my other hand grabs that part. So the text today, if one member weeps, we want to weep with those. If one rejoices, reach the same mind, compassion toward one another. A second lesson in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, we function as a family in brotherly love. As a family. And I put in your notes, you know, when we were physically born, we were born into a family. When we became Christians and born again, we're born now into God's family. That's right. In Galatians 3, verse 26, for now you're all sons of God through faith. Sons of God? Family? Yeah. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Family? Yeah. A body? Yeah. Family? Yes. And now in today's lesson, we're going to look at us as a community. That people that care for one another in life's situations. When people rejoice or people cry. When members hurt. We want to live in harmony and have the same care one for another. A community. So we weep and rejoice with one another. We put ourselves in another's place. Kind of the golden rule. I want to do unto you as I would want you to do unto me. In our hymnal, you know, there's a section entitled Church, One Another. Starts on page, hymn number 702. But just some of the songs in this section deal with us looking out for one another. A Common Love. Blessed be the tie that binds. God's Family. I love you with the love of the Lord is another song. Or Lord, listen to your children praying. Love one another, we say. Not angry words. So we want to get along. Remember the poet John Donne wrote, No Man's an Island. Meaning, at least one meaning is, for every good thing that you and I have received, we owe a few to them. No man's an island. In our life, there will be times for us to give and times for us to receive. If you won't receive, I can't give. Because I need to let go of something and put it into your hands or your possession. For me to give, I need to have someone receive. The same way with me. If you want to give to me, I'll receive. That's the way it works. In this introduction, I've just given you five illustrations to remind us that we're not to live in isolation. But rather, we need to use our eyes to look out for one another. That's the lesson. Here's three more admonitions. Weep, rejoice, and look toward one another. First one is weep. Weep with those who weep. Romans 12, verse 15. I usually use this verse as a reason for family and friends to gather at a funeral. And when I preach a funeral, especially if it's a Christian's funeral, I may say to them in the funeral's introduction, there's three reasons for this assembly, for a funeral assembly. Number one is to weep with those who weep. It's in the verse. Second, I'll say the reason why we assemble together is to offer hope. And then the third reason why we've called family and friends together at a funeral is to be mindful of the one who has died or departed. We remember their life. So three reasons together. The first one I say to weep with those who weep, I say that because that's what Jesus did. When he learned about his best friend Lazarus passing away, he makes the journey to Bethany where the family is gathering. And the Bible says in verse 35 that he wept. In verse 32, I'll back up a little bit and give you the story. So Jesus is making his journey to Bethany when he heard about the news of Lazarus' passing. He says, then, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. In the next verse, two words, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Reason for family gathering, family and friends gathering at a funeral. One reason I see is to weep with those who weep. And I say that because that's what Jesus did here. Weeping with the family was one of two reasons that Jesus went to Bethany. There could be more. But earlier in John chapter 11, when this story is told, Jesus did to the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Of course, the disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, he'll wake up on his own." But Jesus said in verse 14, where the Bible says, Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." But Jesus goes to resurrect him. I suppose, just thinking a little bit out loud, Jesus could have raised Lazarus from where he was. Jesus gives this explanation in the text. It's in verse 15. Jesus said, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him." You see, from a distance, Jesus healed a nobleman's son in John chapter 4, verse 46. From a distance, miles, Jesus heals a centurion's servant in Matthew chapter 8, verse 50, from where he was. "Jesus, why did you go?" "Well, I'm going to meet with the family and friends, and I'm going to weep with those who weep." And that resurrection. Second point in the verse that we're looking at today, we want to weep with those who weep, is to rejoice with those who rejoice. This is the second reason that I give when we assemble together for a funeral, especially a Christian's funeral. We assemble to offer hope. And again, I say that because that's what Jesus did when he went to Bethany, to the funeral of his friend Lazarus. It's in the text. In John chapter 11, verse 17. "So when Jesus came," Jesus, why'd he come? Not to weep. "But then he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days." Then in verse 20. "Now Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.'" To offer hope at the funeral. "Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.'" Oh, I know that. "But Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" She said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So when a Christian dies at the funeral, just as Jesus did at the funeral of Lazarus and met with the family, he offers hope. Offers hope. Several years ago, I preached a funeral of Christine's uncle and aunt in Morro Bay, California. And after the funeral, her cousin Marlon came up to me and said, "Brian, you didn't mention one other reason to have the funeral of a Christian." I said, "Marlon, what's that?" And he says, "It's to rejoice." I thought, right, add another scripture to my reasons for gathering, and I'm going to include it with this one. When we gather together at the funeral of a Christian, we offer hope, but to also to rejoice. It's in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "For having been justified by faith," thank you, God, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, thank you. "We have access by faith into this grace." Oh, thank you again. "In which we stand." Oh, thank you. "And rejoice in hope." So now when I preach the funeral of a Christian, And I say we gathered here to weep, first, and second, to offer hope. I say we're going to rejoice in that hope. It's in our text, too, just a couple verses earlier in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. So I want to get happy thinking about our hope. Even at the death of a Christian, when we offer the hope, many times we use the phrase, we're going to smile through our tears. We rejoice in hope. Henry Van Dyke uses the illustration at someone's passing of people on opposite shores. He says, here we are on this shore at the funeral, and with sad eyes, we're saying, there they go. There they go. And then Henry Van Dyke says, but on the opposite shore, there are people with glad eyes saying, here they come. Here they come. Yeah, those who've gone before. So there's an occasion to rejoice in hope. Yeah. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say, rejoice. You can rejoice not only at the funeral of a Christian, but for our salvation, that we're in the Lord. You've heard me say salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. There's happy moments knowing that we stand on God's side, that others know to whom we belong. There's an occasion for rejoicing when we assemble for worship. Being with one another in a time of worship is an occasion for rejoicing. And it's an occasion of rejoicing for all that God has done for us. And it's an opportunity for us to share our faith with one another and give encouraging words and lift each other up. An occasion for rejoicing in an assembly. The psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I hope you're always glad when it's time to assemble. I hope you're glad. It's time for assembly. I know you're glad when it's time for assembly to end. I want you to be glad when it's time for assembly to begin. Glad when they said, let's go. Be of the same mind. So number one, we weep with those who weep. With those, he prays. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's one another. And now the third one is that, let's live in harmony with one another. Let's look toward one another. Let's have compassion, 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Compassion one for another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. One toward another. That gives us a sense of direction. When we look, I want to look toward you. And you look toward me. What can you do? Let me get that. In our Christianity, in our community, in our body life, in our family life, look toward one another. That's what he's saying. We have concern for this community of believers. And the Christian doesn't exist in a state of isolation, being unmoved by the plight of others. We look out for one another. Look out for one another. Be of the same mind. Golden rule. So that's the lesson. All these illustrations that we have. Family, body life, community, our songs we sing, one another songs. No man is an island. Belong. Feel like you belong. Always at the close of a song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. You mean you're not a Christian. You've not been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. Everything is ready. It's simply need to let your resolve be known. You've heard the good news. That's what Jesus said. Last words. Go into all the world and tell good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So we preach that. And we the necessity of belief. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And I don't want to perish. So I want to hear the good news and I want to believe it. And I want to turn my life around, turn it toward God, God's way. I want to make my confession of faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when those things are in place, I can be baptized for remission of sins. And go on my way rejoicing. That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. If you haven't obeyed that good news message already, we encourage you to do it today. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we're going to sing this song to give you time to think about that. So let's stand together and put in this good song of exhortation, whosoever will, may come.